Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is a portion of the Holy Gospel. Specifically, we want to look at the presentation of our Lord and the sacrifice that was made. Therefore, it's important for us to know today that it is Jesus, the firstborn. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, let me take you back to when you were in school. I know that there was always a subject that you did not like. And when we don't like a subject in school, that means that we weren't usually very good at it. For me, it was mathematics. I did not like algebra one bit. As a matter of fact, if they could take all the algebra books in the world and throw them away, I'd be a happy camper. Be no problem for me. The one subject that I did love and I still love is history. Some of you are smiling, which means you don't like history. Maybe you do like history. But for our text today, it's important for us to know the history. There's a history behind what is happening as Mary and Joseph take the baby Jesus into the temple. And this history is very, very important for us as Christians. Let's go back to Egypt. There in Egypt, we know the Israelites were captive for 400 years. They were slaves. They had to do what the Egyptians said. The last number of years were especially cruel upon them. But God continued to remind them that He will not forget them, that He will keep His promise. Just as we talked to the children about how God keeps His promise, God kept His promise to the nation of Israel. And ultimately, He delivered them through a man whom He chose. The man whom He chose was the man named Moses. Moses was God's spokesman. And it was through Moses that God announced the plagues upon the Egyptians. Now, it's important for us to know the history behind these plagues. The plagues against Egypt were not against the people. The plagues were announced against the gods, the false gods of Egypt. And ultimately, there was the final plague, the 10th plague. Do you remember who announced the 10th plague? It wasn't Moses. As a matter of fact, it wasn't God who announced the 10th plague. It was Pharaoh himself. Pharaoh thought that he was a god, and the people thought that Pharaoh was a god. So therefore, the final plague, yes, was announced by the God of Egypt. And the announcement was that the firstborn of Israel would die. Rather, we know that Pharaoh is not God. And to prove to Pharaoh that he's not God, what happened in Egypt that evening? Yahweh tells His people to sacrifice a lamb and to take the blood of the lamb and paint your lintel and doorpost. And then when the destroyer comes, he will pass over your home. The blood of the lamb will save you. And the 400 years of oppression ended. Because when the destroyer came and saw the blood of the lamb, he did what he promised. He passed over, and instead the firstborn of every Egyptian died, including the crown prince of Egypt, the son of Pharaoh. Not only that, but God then told the Israelites as He led them out of Egypt into the wilderness, consecrate to Me the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is Mine. The firstborn male of animals was to be sacrificed, an offering to God. The firstborn sons born of a woman was to be redeemed by sacrifice, consecrated to God by the blood of a lamb, or two turtle doves, or two young pigeons. There's the history. So now Jesus is 40 days old, and Mary and Joseph, being devout, they come to the temple in Jerusalem. Mary is now in the 40th day after her pregnancy, and she now is required to make the redemption. She is required to sacrifice a lamb or two turtle doves or two young pigeons. My dear friends, we all know what Mary sacrificed. She sacrificed two young pigeons because Mary and Joseph were very, very poor. This gives us a little insight of why God chose Mary. Mary was a devout Jewish young lady, as was Joseph, a devout young man. Yet Joseph wasn't chosen to be the father of God because God is God and Jesus is the begotten of the Father. But Mary was chosen to be the mother of God. Why? Because she was devout and because she was poor. She was humble. And when Mary came to the temple, she did not need a lamb. She was carrying the Lamb of God. He did not require a sacrifice. He did not require redemption. Yet Mary, who was faithful, did what the law of Moses commanded her to do. She sacrificed two turtle doves. One was thrown into the bronze altar. There it was sacrificed, the burnt offering. And the other had its throat slit. This was the sin offering. And the blood of that turtle dove was sprinkled onto Mary. In about 33 years, she would be sprinkled again with the blood of the young baby she was carrying in her arms. The shedding of his own holy and divine blood, Jesus did. He did it on the eighth day of his life, which we'll discuss tomorrow. But here on this day in the temple, God has come to man. He has come to man as a man, born of a virgin, a 40-day-year-old child, fulfilling the law of Moses. Fulfilling the law of Moses for you, for Mary, for Joseph, for Simeon, for Anna, even for the priest who did the sacrifice. The sacrifice of the world was being held in the arm of a young Jewish girl named Mary. And this sacrifice that was made was not made for Jesus. The sacrifice of those two turtle doves was made to Jesus. It's hard for us to understand this. This is deep theology, dear ones. As Mary, the firstborn, as she was holding her firstborn, the firstborn son is declaring redemption. He's declaring, Mary, that your sin is forgiven, for you're observing the law of Moses. But in 33 years, I will hang on the cross, and I will fulfill the law for you. And I will fulfill the law for everyone, for all people, for I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is a Lamb of God who takes away each and every one of your sins. In the first chapter of Colossians, the Holy Spirit, writing through St. Paul, thus says, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And he is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. He is the eternal Son of God who is now human. The blood that flowed through Jesus' veins was the same color of the blood that flows through your veins. He was human in every way. And he is also the firstborn of the dead, because the one who was about to be sacrificed for all the sins of the world is now the risen Son of God. And because he is the risen Son of God, your loved ones who are at rest across Shum Road or wherever they may be resting, one day their tomb and your tomb also will be empty, because Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. This is the promise that he has made And again, as you heard with our children, God is not a liar. He will always, always, always keep his promise to you. You know, there were two people there that we should probably touch on. An old man named Simeon. We speculate that he was an old man anyway. And we know for a fact that Anna was an old woman. Simeon and Anna were waiting, and they were waiting, and they were waiting, and they were waiting for the Messiah. Notice that Simeon didn't do this on his own, by the way, dear ones. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, as you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit who led him to Jesus. And in those great words of Simeon, which we'll talk about in a moment, those are the same words that we also speak of on particular days. They were both waiting for the deliverance. Deliverance from their loneliness. Anna, a widow. Yes, for the widows in our congregation, God certainly understands widowhood. He also understands the loneliness of waiting and waiting and waiting to be cured from pain or disease. Yes, God understands the heartache and the loneliness of death. He knows what it feels like to lose a loved one. Remember, your Father in heaven saw his son cruelly treated, nailed to a cross, and die on that cross. God certainly understands. He knows oh so well. But he makes a promise. He makes a promise to you, and he makes a promise to me. Take heart, dear one. Stand firm. By the power of the Holy Spirit, which is at work in the Word, you know that the Son of God, who became flesh, who lived and died and rose again, that he is coming again. And by faith, you know your Savior is always with you. He'll never leave or forsake you. He will keep his promise. Just as God kept his promise to Adam and Eve, just as he kept his promise to Moses and to the Israelites, just as he kept his promise to David, he will keep his promise to each and every one of you. How does he keep his promise? Today you're seeing him keep his promise. You hear the word. And what do you hear in the word? You hear that you are a sinner. You hear that I am a sinner. We transgress God's law daily and much. We cannot save ourselves, dear ones. There's nothing that you can do to save yourself. There's nothing that I can do to save you. And I certainly can't save myself. But we know that Jesus is the one who has saved us. And he constantly reminds us of this. In the Word, we hear the gospel of what he has done for us by going to the cross and announcing to us that your sin has been forgiven, that he has died for your sin. He shed his holy, precious blood, not only at his circumcision, but here upon the cross so that you could live and so that you can be washed clean of all your sin. But he also reminds you in the sacraments. He reminds you of your baptism, that each day you can rise anew, saying to yourself, I am a baptized child of God. I know my sin is forgiven. And on those certain days, on the first day or on those certain feasts, you come here to the altar. And here Jesus is present once again, keeping his promise to you, reminding you that you are to eat and to drink. And as you receive his body and blood, there is the great wonder. There is the great wonder for you. For after you receive his body and blood, what do you sing? You sing the song of Simeon. You sing the very same song. You actually do depart in peace, for here he gives you peace. Not only does he give you, he actually serves you his peace, body and blood. You depart in peace according to his word, for when God speaks his word, it is the truth, and his word does what he says it does. Not only that, dear ones, your eyes actually see your salvation. in bread and in wine, in body and in blood. You actually see your salvation. God keeps his promise to you. So each time you come here, and each time you sing Simeon's song, remember what Jesus has done for you. He is constantly reminding you. Therefore, you are without excuse. You know what he has done, and you know what he continues to do. So as you now await, as Simeon and Anna await it, he continually waits upon you. Yes, Jesus continually serves you as you wait his return. He waits upon you in the means of grace. He does this to strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. This is his work that he does for you. As you have heard in the epistle this morning, for the sake of Jesus, you are sons of God, heirs of the kingdom, and God is your Father, who works all things for your good. So therefore, dear ones, it's not your doing, it is God's doing. Just as it was God's doing when Mary stood there before the Nicator gate and made her sacrifice. It was actually Jesus receiving the sacrifice of her. It was not her doing, it was his. It's not your righteousness or your works that saves you. No, it is his works that has made you an heir of his kingdom. It is what he has done for you, and he's done it freely. Oh yes, you will certainly be pierced in this life. You will suffer, and you will endure grief, and you will endure pain, and you will endure loneliness. But dear ones, the inheritance that has been given to you freely will be revealed in you, and it will be revealed for you. Because of his great love for you, we are reminded that God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that's you and me, so that we might receive adoption as sons. You have been redeemed. Redeemed by the sacrifice, not of a lamb, not of two turtle doves or two pigeons, but by the Lamb of God, who has taken away all your sins, the firstborn from the dead. And because he is the firstborn from the dead, you are the assembly of the firstborn of your Savior. For you are forgiven, forgiven of all your sins. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.